How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, just chilling in my old childhood room.
Where is your old childhood bedroom? What country?
This is in Norway, in a town called Horten, which is like an hour away from Oslo. And it's just like the most safe, boring, suburban city.
Oh my God, I love that. It just kind of lets you tune down for a second and just not be in a huge city full of loud people. And oh, I can just imagine how nice it is.
Oslo is like the perfect city for me now. So this almost gets a little bit too slow. I'm like, wait a minute. This is like, 'cause it's not even cool. It's just like boring and so, but some towns like there's like a really cute city in upstate New York that's called Hudson, and that's like such a cute little city, and they have great coffee shops and stuff. But this is just like, I don't
Nothing.
know, maybe I'm probably becoming like a city snob now. So I'm just,
Uh-oh.
yeah, probably. Oof, you know,
Oh
the most horrible kind.
my God. I was gonna say, I mean, usually as an artist, you kind of want the world to just be quiet and be in a place where there's nothing and all you can hear is just the birds and grass and whatever it is. But if you're into cities now, that's interesting because I don't know, I'm from Berlin and it just gets too much after some time.
Oh, I mean, we have great like forests and a lot of, you know, nature surrounded by Oslo, like surrounding Oslo. So like it's like you can kind of go in there if you want to. So
Yeah.
it's kind of perfect. You can just take your car or like the bus, and it's pretty really simple.
That's
I don't know what it's like in Berlin, but I have been there a couple of times, and but I feel like it's that, you know, they probably have some good parks, some cool bars. I don't know.
Yeah,
Not
life.
nature, though.
No, there's a lot of nature, but it's a different type of nature. So I'm kind of jealous, but I get that you kind of want to get back out of there. But I'm really glad that you're here and I get to talk to you about your album.
Oh, ho.
12th of April. It's a beautiful album, I have to say. Like before we get into anything, it was amazing. But I was also kind of not shocked, but in a positive way about the fact that it was 10 songs, which
Yes.
it's just as an artist, I'm always like, okay, I would love to just have 20 on those. And it's so difficult to narrow down. Was it difficult for you to narrow down to 10, or was it an easy decision?
I feel like I didn't really, well, I have some other songs that didn't make it, but I was kind of just like, I didn't make any other songs almost. I was just focusing on like the ideas that really stuck with me, I guess. So, I didn't have like 100 songs. Like, I'm a slow maker. I make things very slowly, and I kind of give them time. So, those were like the 10 songs that I even thought were good enough, and I didn't have much time to make more music. So I was like, okay, it's 10 tracks.
That's so nice, though. It kind of lets you breathe and really work on each song with the most attentiveness that you can give it, rather than being like, this needs to be the biggest, fullest album ever. Because I could tell that all these 10 songs were very much obviously thought through, and I don't know, every single song was just like a little world in itself. And I
Yeah.
love, the intro song, the I'm Back. It was just like, okay, like she's back. And it was
Yeah.
interesting to know kind of how that little gap that you had of, I don't know, maybe figuring yourself out, figuring things out, how that was, and how you kind of got out of that, I guess, rut, and what helped you to get back into that kind of mental state of like, I'm back, guys.
I think I kind of I mean, I was doing pretty bad for many years, and that's like what all my earlier music is about. And then in 2021, when the first album came out, while that was coming out and stuff, like I was kind of getting a lot of new friends, and I never really had like a lot of friends. I've obviously had friends, and I've never been like completely lonely, but I've never felt like I've had friend groups and stuff, but I was really getting to know a lot of people, and then I met my girlfriend, and then like I was just kind of going out, I was going to parties, I was going to raves, I was just like doing all these like really just fun things. And I think a lot of that led me to kind of realize that, like, oh my god, this is, it's fun to have friends, and to and it's okay to, not everything needs to be so deep, Marie, just like chill for a second. You can also allow yourself to just be a simple person sometimes without judging yourself for not, you know, writing or not reading. Or like, I've always kind of been very like, oh my god, Marie, you have to like make stuff, you have to consume like art and stuff. So I was kind of just like not caring as much about that. And then that kind of led me to a place where I felt like I was able to find myself again. Because that's what I used to be before I became into this like workaholic who just felt like I never worked enough. And that kind of, I burnt a lot of bridges with friends and stuff because of that. So I just came back to life through partying.
Literally, I was gonna say, you kind of, there's life being breathed back into you. You kind of got into more of the, sometimes when you, it's not even just the simple thing of overthinking, it's more of a, you kind of over intellectualize your feelings all the time, and then you want to be creative and you want to work, and then you kind of forget that life still exists outside of all of that. And like you just said, I'm really glad that you kind of reconnected with or met new people and love and all those things. Cause I did notice like the patterns in your songs were for sure, they always had kind of not a negative connotation, but it was, sometimes you deal with your feelings obviously with your art and your songwriting, which is beautiful. But then I listened to Doing It Again, Baby, and I was like, it's interesting because it's definitely difficult to write songs where you kind of romanticize yourself and your life and all that. And was that hard for you in the studio at the moment, or did it just come to you naturally because you were in that state?
It was kind of hard to write that song, because even after, like, for a long time, I was like, oh my god, I was forcing like some sadness onto that song, which wasn't really coming, because it obviously was always supposed to be like a happy, excited song. And then, but then even in the studio, I was struggling with like feeling cool enough to even sing about certain things. Like, I was struggling just to even hype myself up and kind of, I was also
awkward. It is really awkward.
It is. I feel like what I've been doing on this album is kind of just like leaning into things that are awkward and cringe, because I feel like this is probably very present in Berlin also, but like it's like a coolness culture. It's like very much about being cool and being too cool to even show that you have emotions, et cetera, et cetera. And I feel like that's like the normal tendency nowadays. It's just like, be mysterious on Instagram. Just like what kind of, there's no depth to that really. It's not interesting. It's just like a facade. And that's kind of like with Doing It Again, Baby, there's actually something really vulnerable about making a song about just being cool, because like it takes a lot of, for me at least, because I'm overly self-aware, and I constantly am just like talking shit to myself. So it was like an important song to make almost.
But that's beautiful. I'm glad that you kind of did that, because I'm excited to also see you do that live. And kind of, it's almost like with every city, you're going to manifest that into your brain, because you're screaming it out to people, and there's a whole band, and it's just, I think it's going to be really fun for you to perform that album. Is there any song that you're like specifically excited to perform because of the guitars in it, or the, I don't know, intensity of the song?
I'm really excited for A Night to Remember and Doing It Again, Baby. I'm on a new level. Doing It Again, Baby, I was kind of writing that in my mind, thinking about performing it like on a stage in like Mexico, like a festival. It was like nighttime. And then I'm just coming up on stage when it's just like,
and the sun's like the orange and yellows and purples, and everyone just like drunk.
That's kind of like the vibe I've been thinking of with that one. So I feel like that's going to be really cool. And it just sounds like such a cool rock song. So I'm excited to see like what are people's reactions going to be like. And I really hope that I can encourage people to just have fun and let loose.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be exciting. Talking about performing, because you just mentioned like that you envision yourself at these big festivals with all these people. And I know that you perform for the Eras Tour as well, which is absolutely insane. And yeah. To me, like my first question that popped into my head was, how do you chemically kind of balance that in your brain? Because I don't know, being in front of so many people isn't something natural, and there's so much dopamine and serotonin that you're, and then after you're like, what the hell was that? And I'm just curious to know how the afters were, like getting off stage and just doing that whole thing. Was it, did it feel real, or when did you kind of process all of it?
Almost like the beauty, and also can sometimes be the bad thing about playing shows, is like it's such like an over, like it's such a saturated experience with like dopamine and like serotonin and all these like endorphins in your body when you go on stage, and adrenaline, of course, because it is a very overwhelming experience, which, you know, makes you feel amazing, but it also can take a long time to wind down, especially if you're playing in the night. So sometimes actually I really don't really know how to wind down after a show and kind of process whatever just happened, because I mean, I know what happened. It was a show, but also you can't really do anything about the chemicals in your body. So you kind of just have to like relax and treat it as a normal thing almost, so that you can be able to fall asleep, or especially like when you're on the road on a tour bus and you play a show at 9 and then you go to, and then you play until almost 11. And then like, how do you go to bed after that? It's like, it's very hard, but it's obviously like one of the cool parts about touring also, I guess.
True. I mean, you're in this like confined space with all these people that you love and work with, and it's kind of nice that it's a conjoined experience, I guess, because everyone, like you were on that stage with several people, and I guess you all share kind of the same chemical imbalance in your brain.
Yeah, like, I think so. Obviously, I do probably care. I carry the show, and I'm completely like, I have a responsibility that the boys in my band don't have, but obviously we definitely have a collective experience on whether a show is amazing. And because sometimes it's just like the show is just electric and you can feel that like everything is just on point and perfect. Sometimes we feel really connected, and sometimes we're like, that's not our best show.
Yeah. Which there's ups and downs. I feel like as an artist, most artists that I've talked to in general, it's just a collective kind of perfectionism, self, how do you say it? Kind of not self-hate, but you're just picking apart everything that you do. You want to become better at everything you're doing all the time.
It's instead of looking at the positives, instead of like, if 90% of the show was a great show, but then like a couple bad things happen, it's very quickly to just focus on those things.
Yeah.
But it's like that with everything. Like even if you get, you know, 10 great comments, but then like 3 people are like, oof, this sucks ass, then like you're still gonna like really kind of focus on the negativity. So it's, there's something with negativity that like your brain really latches onto, and other people also really latch onto it, because when they find negativity, they get really excited about it. I don't know, but anyways, this had nothing to do with anything, so
biology. There's a song that really stood out to me. It was A Phantom Pain. And I, first of all, loved the title because it was so intense just to my ears, like the words together, just amazing.
Yeah.
And then I was like,
thank you.
Of course, as a queer girly, I was like, okay, lesbians are messy. It's just a very messy kind of thing. And there's a lot of like emotionally unavailable love interest play that also goes into your songwriting. Did you go about writing these songs in a different way than you used to? Because, you know, you're kind of in a different headspace, or did you kind of just take things from like the old days and you're like, I still need to write about this?
I was kind of going at things a little bit differently because, I mean, Phantom Pain was really about me meeting my girlfriend, and then she, like the first night I met her, and then like she basically rejected me because of like a bunch of other stuff. But, and then I, instantly got like heartbreak for like this person that I didn't even know.
Yeah.
So
That's
like, and you also with phantom pains, you get pains from limps that you don't have anymore. So that's kind of like where the, like, I'm kind of playing on that sort of thing. But instead of kind of writing that song, because I've just been in a place where I'm not easily entertained anymore. I feel I maybe it's like my brain is broken from TikTok or something, but I just feel like I need, I'm fried, but like a sad, like a song like that just wouldn't have been interesting if it was just like a, if I wrote it in a way that I did maybe like 5 years ago. So I had to like spice it up with the, and make it a little crazy with
it's the probably birds more and everything. Satisfying to you, like, just not being like, oh, you rejected me, I'm hurt, but more of a, okay, this is what it feels like. I mean, you still got her in the end, which is amazing, because as you listen through the album, you're like, oh, she's happy again. But yeah, I laughed a lot, not because the album is like funny or I'm not taking it seriously, but then I noticed that people were saying that, like, the question of saying, like, do you listen to Girl in Red is like a code for, are you into girls? And I was like, how must that feel for the person that this is like about, which is, I mean, it's your artist name, but it's still you. When did you notice that that became a thing?
At first I really didn't even know what it meant. I thought it was like a Hey Mamas lesbian thing. Like, do you listen to Girl in Red? Like, I felt like it was like a Hey Mamas thing, but then I think I started noticing when people started commenting on my Instagram, and then my team and I, we started talking about it also, seeing that a lot of people are saying, do you listen to Girl in Red? It was just like a fun thing. And then we realized that, like, this is actually like a really global cultural thing that's happening. So we kind of wanted to be like, hey, we see what's going on. And then we put like a bunch of posters up all around the world, kind of emphasize on the moment. But yeah, it's just like a really special thing, because to cut through culture like that in a time where everything is, there's so much content and stuff, I just think it's really cool that something like that resonated with people.
For sure. I mean, it also has a lot of substance, I feel like, for you and everyone that's kind of part of that, not even a movement, but just love. And it's beautiful that you're kind of associated with that. It must feel nice, not gonna lie.
I think it's really cool. Like, I definitely understand it more now as something rare and unique now than I probably did at the time, because obviously I'm older now, and I probably look back on things with more kind of like, wow. But yeah, it's definitely special.
Yeah, I can imagine. There's another song that I wanted to talk about. It was like the last song on the entire album. And I mean, everyone loves stars. They're great. But I was like, there's a title and it's just full of stars. And I was like, how did that even come to play? Was there a specific thing? Was it random? How did you come up with that?
So basically, I've kind of created like a small exhibition that's going to come with the album. And and one of the sculptures is a 5-star bronze sculpture. But yeah, in that song, I'm kind of like discussing. So basically, the themes of that exhibition is how good is something? If I think it's good, or kind of like debating and kind of playing around with the themes of art critics and critics who write about other people's albums and kind of just degrade a whole body of work into a rating, like 5 stars or 4 or 5, 3 stars or I just find that interesting. But also I thought it was something cool about kind of rating my own album almost and giving it 5 stars from a perspective of feeling very confident and believing in it, because you kind of have to be delusional to create music and put it out in the world and thinking that no anyone cares. So it's kind of that song is referencing sort of the thematics of the exhibition and also sort of referencing a couple of things that I've been obsessed with while making the album. So
Interesting. I love that. It's kind of like a, I mean, in the end, art is a very subjective thing. And like you said, songs and artists being rated, also award shows are very kind of connect that with the stars and stuff, where people get chosen as a winner, and basically you're saying you're the best at this, and then artists compare each other, and it's just a have award shows ever been the like a thing that you necessarily like, or are you more in the middle of it because it.
I definitely think like getting nominated and winning an award is such an amazing feeling. I think if you say that you if you don't say that, it's probably because like maybe you haven't won or something. If that I mean yeah. Like just like I used to be really pissed at like popular radio stations when I was younger because like they weren't playing my music, but it really was because they weren't playing my music. And now I'm like doing interviews with them and being
Yeah, you were
like,
like
"Hi."
persisting. Yeah, I love you
Yeah,
now.
so similarly with like award shows, I'm kind of like obviously it feels good to win something, but also I feel like award shows are kind of like losing their position, and I feel like nobody really notices anymore except like the music industry when the Grammys happen, or the movie industry is the only are the only ones looking really when the Oscars are being handed out. So because like
True. It used to be like a really fun Universal experience. I remember I'm thinking about like the Kanye West times and like the past where like he rushed on the stage, or Katy Perry, Justin Bieber, like all these people where their performances were very much like a universal event. Everyone would sit down to watch, I don't know,
Yeah.
Kids' Choice
Used to
Awards
be
or
like
whatever.
cultural, yeah, used to be like cultural moments that people were like looking forward to and like what was going to happen, or like it's I don't know, obviously I do want to win something, but like also just because you win something, it doesn't also guarantee you making any good, like I've seen other like I've lost awards to so many people that I now don't personally think are making any good music. So it's also like which is, I'm not throwing any shade at anyone in Norway specifically, which is the only place I've been winning awards. But it's kind of like, yeah.
It is a very subjective thing. It's not even like you can't even blame yourself for not, liking everyone's music, even if you're in the same category.
Yeah. I don't, I support people who don't like my music. I really advocate for
You go, guys, please.
them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited for your album. I think you are too, and I love that you have this really, it's so such a self-confident album, and seeing you in that space is a very nice thing, and I'm excited for your tour. Thank you so much still for being on.
Thank you for talking to me and taking time out of your day in Berlin. And
Thank you.
okay,
Have a
goodbye.
wonderful day. Thank you so much.
Dead's Out Podcast ist eine Produktion von Podcast Network bei Sony Music. Idee und Redaktion Sarah Heiß. Executive Producer Luisa Sperra, Sarah Heiß, Lukas Barth und Sandra Pfeiffer. Audio und Video Jonathan Heffner, Lukas Barth und ich, Faye Montana. Und die Songs aus dem Podcast findet ihr auf der Dead's Out Playlist. Und alle, die mich beim Talken sehen wollen, finden Videos zum Podcast bei Snapchat und TikTok. Und nicht vergessen, Dead's Out überall zu folgen und zu abonnieren. Danke, bye!